Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, a place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode, what'd you tell me, 86? 87?
87, I believe, David.
87, Season 7, 87. And we're deep in it. It is, we are 28 hours away from the start of NFL free agency, the start of the new NFL year. And because we are in the legal tampering period or the negotiating period, things will be announced fast and furious. And in fact, kind of think words getting leaked out already and some street free agents have signed. So we got a lot to cover.
Yeah, I'd like to start off this show by telling you that I will not allow you to tamper with me. just show me on the doll, okay?
but Dave and I are open to being negotiated with, for sure.
Absolutely, we are. But you know, we talked just briefly right before we got on. What a joke this legal tampering period is. All it means now is that the illegal tampering now takes part earlier and probably most notably during the NFL Combine because, of course, agents are there with their new clients. And then, obviously, front office guys from each team are there as well, too. You know, where do you draw a line on this? I mean, they obviously created this legal tampering period several years ago because tampering was already going on. But as you said prior to getting on the podcast, they're already announcing the numbers for Pierre Garçon and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, look, the intent's good. Look, guys are negotiating for their careers and agents are negotiating for big dollars. And so nobody wants to get caught holding the bag and having the deals they want to do to improve their team be done before they start the negotiation. So, you know, they moved it up, 52 hours, I guess, noon yesterday. So everybody gets to make a phone call legally. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure, you know, as soon as the season ends, agents are making backdoor phone calls to GMs or whomever it may be within organizations. I don't think anybody has a big problem with it. I'm just surprised, as you said about the Garçon thing. I mean, come on. You, the agent and the team can't not leak that number for 24 more hours that they're going to have a deal done. And the $16 million up front, somebody just tweeted to me, he said, well, I guess the Steelers didn't overpay for AB if Garçon is getting $16 million in 2017. If Pierre Garçon, who I think is a very good receiver, is getting $16 million a year, I will resign from the podcast. I mean, look, I'm already disbelieving that our boy Mike Glennon is going to get $15 million a year, which I think, as much as I like Mike Glennon, is probably – twice what he should be paid. I mean, if you want to pay him 8 to 10 to compete for a starting job, okay. And I get it. Some teams have extra money that they need to spend, but I mean, wow. You know, some of these numbers are crazy and good on the Steelers for getting the AB deal done, before this, because as we talked about, you know, he may not be the highest paid wide receiver starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and this $16 million that they're talking about obviously is going to include signing bonus and any first year money. So I doubt this thing's going to come in.
He's going to come in at $10 million a year, right? I mean, he's going to come in $10 million or less. He's not making teens, right?
I don't know, 10 to 12 maybe. I mean, he was very consistent during his years in Washington there, so he's going to be probably one of the top free agent wide receivers, or was one of the top free agent wide receivers on the market this year. So
yeah, no, I like the guy a lot, and I'd pay him $10 million if I needed a number two. I think he's a very good number two. I don't think I'd be paying him 13. But these numbers are going to be interesting. And so let's get to some of this. Brandon Marshall, some people were asking you and me about, you know, why is he allowed to announce his signing today instead of tomorrow? He's a street free agent. He was cut by the Jets. So he it's not they waived him under contract. They released him. So then, you know, he goes through well, because of his tenure, he doesn't have to go through waivers. But he's out there and can sign with anybody at any time, similar to Adrian Peterson, who can sign with anybody at any time. So Brandon Marshall signs a 2-year, $12 million deal with the Giants. Obviously, location incredibly important to him because he did the show he does with – what's his show?
It's Showtime. It's NFL – what do they call that thing?
Insiders or whatever.
Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL, right. So that mattered to him. I think that's a fair deal for both sides, right? They let go of Victor Cruz. They've got Sterling Shepard. Who was picked in the second round last year. Obviously, they've got OBJ. So I actually think that's a decent addition for the Giants at a reasonable price.
Yeah, and Elise, I mean, look, people were asking me about Brandon Marshall, you know, over the course of the last several, you know, I guess since his release from the Jets last week, if, you know, Steelers might be interested. And my reply was, well, not at his age. And I still felt that he was probably going to command still a pretty penny, even though, you know, he is on the wrong side of 30 now. So at least we can at least we don't have to worry about that anymore. And I don't think we have to worry about the Steelers signing Terrell Pryor either.
Yeah, so Dave, what's your guess by midnight tomorrow? Will we have 30 announced signings? Do you think we'll I was thinking, you know, we'll have 10 between 4 and 5. A lot of big names will be off the board. But it sounds like this is going to move quickly, you know, quickly and then not at all is typically how this works. The first day there's a lot. But do you expect to see a ton of signings announced tomorrow at four, you know, between 4 and midnight?
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of over and under. I would have to go back and look at maybe historically to get a good gauge maybe. But, you know, I would say by midnight Eastern, you know, tomorrow, 20 to 30, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, most teams getting a signing done probably. You know, even if it's a marginal signing. okay, so it's reporting that the Cowboys' own website is reporting that Josh McCown is visiting. And if you listen to the show, you know I'm a big Josh McCown fan. And so that means Tony Romo is probably something imminent with Romo. He's going to end up in Denver or Houston, right?
I would think so. Those sound like the two most logical landing spots for him, although I think I think I saw something on the NFL Network last night claiming that the Broncos are still happy with Trevor Siemian. Now, obviously, the Texans, they can't be happy with Brock Osweiler. And even so, they would stand to lose a lot of cap money if they were to cut him. So they're going to have to probably carry him in 2017 regardless. But of the two, I would. You know, think that Houston probably the more likely of the two spots, right?
Yeah, although, you know, I've heard that I've heard people tell me that Denver is definitely interested. They don't think Lynch is ready, and they don't think Simeon's good enough to get him there, and they want to do it in this window with this defense that they have, which is obviously top of the league. I mean, both defenses are top of the league. So, you know, both looking to upgrade at the quarterback position to take that next step. And whoever gets them is going to make whichever team it is a legit contender with the Patriots and the Steelers in the AFC for sure.
You know, we were kind of glossed over Terrell Pryor real quickly there. What, you know, with all the cap space that the Browns have, is there a reason why you wouldn't? I mean, would you have franchised him and at least had him there for one more year?
The Browns,
right? Would Pryor?
So I'm just looking at this article here that I literally just pulled up that Tony Grossi wrote, who's been a longtime beat writer covering the Browns. I guess they feel that they can compete. You know, our guy Joel Corey estimates his value at $12 million a year, a five-year, $60 million deal. And Grassi said the Browns held the line way below that figure and Pryor believes, obviously, that he can get more. We'll see who's right. What do you pay? Do you pay Terrell Pryor, Pierre Garçon money? Is that, are you in that range? Would you do 10 to 12 a year for 5 years?
Well, here's the thing. What's your plans? You know, when we don't know this, what's your plans if you do lose him? I mean, you're
obviously, where are you going to get a receiver and how are you going to spend your money?
Right. I mean, it just seems like the Browns every year it's rebuilding, right? I mean, sooner, and I don't know where they stand as far as, the 4 year cash floor, you know, the 89 have to spend 89% of the total cap over a span of 4 years in cash. I don't know. I haven't paid attention to see where they stand on that, but Lord, they got a lot of cap money. And even if you weren't sold on Terrell Pryor long-term, you know, maybe franchise him for 1 year and see how it goes. And obviously in doing so, if you would be forced to probably franchise him again a second year next offseason. And of course, there's that huge increase that goes along with that by doing so on a player 2 years in a row. So I don't know. We'll see if they go out there and spend money on another free agent wide receiver. But, you know, for a team heavy, their analytics department, you know, are probably saying that money just doesn't match what our analytics say.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, look, the guys who came in all came in this past year. So they had their first draft, didn't get great return. It looks like at least after the first year on their first draft, they're going to have a ton of picks again this year. You know, they've still got a couple cornerstone pieces in Joe Hayden and Joe Thomas, but those guys are older guys. We'll see. We'll see what they do at the quarterback position. It's, you know, they've got the first pick and the 12th pick. And, you know, the idea that if you miss on a pick, the dumbest thing that people say, really, literally the dumbest thing that people say is, oh, if you miss on a pick and top pick in the draft, you know, it's set your franchise back 10 years. Your franchise is already set back. I mean, you know, you hit with a top pick and you can turn life around really fast. So you miss, you keep picking at the top of the draft. So get it right. They need to get these picks right to get competitive because they do have a couple good players. And I, you know, they're obviously, it doesn't feel like they're going to get their quarterback this year. And if you just go, if you get Myles Garrett and you go build around some of the other pieces that you have, and you still turn it, you still go 4-12. They're going to be quarterbacks in next year's draft who are, you know, you got both the UCLA kid Rosen. I think he can come out and can both the USC and UCLA kid. I can't even remember now that I haven't the UCLA and USC kid. And then you got, you know, a bunch of other guys. So there'll be quarterbacks in the next couple drafts. So I don't know. I'd like to see the Browns be competitive. I think most people would like to see the Browns be competitive. It's just, you know, having been a Pirates fan, growing up a Pirates fan, it's tough to be the butt of the jokes for 20 straight years, and the Browns are getting close, it feels like.
Plain and simple, would you have, knowing what you know right now, would you have franchised Terrell Pryor?
Do I think I can re-sign him? I guess I would have. Because the downside, but I wouldn't, you know, I know how you, and I think correctly, like to say that that's the base for your negotiations going forward, and it wouldn't be the base for my negotiations going forward, you know, 15.6 or whatever the number is, you know, $15 million a year. Because I do think he's a $10 to $12 million player, but I don't want to be paying him $16 million a year over the next couple of years. So I might have for my fan base, and because of all the money I have, I might have. But the long-term deal would, you know, still start at, you know, 4-48 or something like that.
And maybe the Browns are just letting the market, you know, set a contract for him. Maybe they intend on possibly matching or slightly
trying to match,
right? Or slightly bettering what Pryor, you know, might get on the open market. So, you know, until we see Terrell Pryor sign elsewhere, it's still, you know, he's still a member of the Cleveland Browns, even though, you know, technically his contract will be coming to an end here on March 9th. So it just interesting you know, to see, especially with a franchise like them. Like I said, it just seems like every year, man, they're this is the same team that let Taylor Gabriel go, right? And
yeah, that looked bad. Looks bad.
You know, so. Going to be an interesting few days, and I guess sort of turning our attention to the Steelers now, David. The strongest buzz right now about a player the Steelers could possibly sign, I guess, would have to be Dre Kirkpatrick, right?
Yeah, we talked about Dre on Monday. I think Stephon Gilmore will be out of their financial. You know, Stephon Gilmore is probably an eight-figure guy, $10 million a year guy. You know, I don't know if the Micah Hydes and some of the other corners out there would be in the game, but certainly Dre Kirkpatrick. You know, look, the scouts do their work. I don't want to suggest that the scouts know more about Dre than other teams because the Steelers play him twice, but we do. We see a lot of Dre, and you know, again, he's a big corner. He can play press man. He's a high pedigree guy. He's still pretty young, so Are the Steelers willing to pay $8 million a year? I don't think he's going to go for much less than that, $7, $8 million a year for a guy on a, you know, four-year deal. And you have to assume if you go do that with Dre Kirkpatrick, he's your starting outside corner opposite Artie Burns.
Oh, yeah, if you're going to throw that money at him, that's definitely what he's going to be. And I'm with you. I mean, what you know, his market price, his bottom market price you would think would be $7 million a year, right?
Yep, he is not getting less than that. I wouldn't think. I'd be shocked.
And when you go back, file this in the Steelers haven't drafted a cornerback since X years streak. Of course, obviously came to an end last year with Artie Burns. But since Kevin Colbert has been the GM in Pittsburgh, when you talk about what I like to call true unrestricted free agent signings, meaning players who were property of another team prior to the new league year starting and who were signed prior to June 1st of that year, the Steelers have only signed two such cornerbacks during that time. You want to take a stab at who those two were?
Give me the premise again, the question.
The premise is that true unrestricted free agents during the Kevin Colbert era, meaning players who were property of another team prior to the new league starting and who were signed prior to June 1st. In other words, that prime.
Does William Gay doesn't fall into that category?
No, because he was technically, remember, he was released by the Cardinals, right?
Okay, so. I won't have this. Don't have it.
They're tough. And if not for me pulling up my stuff every year, I don't remember them. You know, I fail to probably, etch that into my memory bank as well too. The last one, according to my records, was Kiwon Ratliff in 2009. He was signed on April 24th, which was well after the start of free agency, obviously. He signed a one-year $620,000 contract. Before that was Willie Williams in 2004. Willie, of course.
He played a little bit. He got some time.
Right, right. He was, of course, with the Steelers prior to that, right? You know, so a second trip, if you will, signed on another kind of late offseason signing on May 26, 2004, 1 year, $760,000 contract initially. So we could have a, you know, if they go out and get a guy like Dre Kirkpatrick, it would be the biggest, obviously the biggest, true unrestricted free agent, you know, cornerback signing that Kevin Colbert has made since he became general manager in 2000, unless I'm missing a name here, and I don't believe I am. So what do you put the, I mean, now let's get into the realistic aspect. Is this all just, are we going to laugh about these rumblings you know, a week from now? Or do you seriously think there's a chance, you know, Drake Kirkpatrick signs with the Steelers?
Well, I mean, part of the fun of it is speculating on what they might do. I mean, like I said on Monday, the answer for every player for every team is no, because those are the odds. The odds are, you know, every player is not, you know, one out of 32 with each team. And depending on, you know, how active those teams are, maybe more emphatically no. So the answer for all of them is no. But again, I think you're right. I think you correctly picked the position where if they do something, that's where it is. Now, as free agency goes on, I expect them to add a defensive lineman, whether it's Ricardo Matthews or not, maybe a veteran wide receiver, you know, maybe another linebacker, special teams player. All of those can be added in free agency, and nobody's going to blink. But a guy making $5 million or more, I think corner. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I put together I started off this post. I said, I'm an old curmudgeon when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers being active in free agency. However, being as they have some salary cap space to play with this year, and combined with the fact that the team made a few early splashes in free agency in each of the last 3 years, I thought I would throw together a few names for people, you know, some bargain type guys. I'll go through the list and you tell me the guys that you like and maybe think there's a possibility there. I lead the list with Alteron Verner, who's technically a
strength. Yeah, I'm a fan of Alteron Verner. I like him. He's, you know, the thing that holds him back a little bit from maybe what the Steelers are looking for is size, obviously. But I like him.
And the thing with him is, you know, is he a better outside corner than he is in the slot? Possibly, but make no mistake, he had a good final year with the Tennessee Titans several years ago before he signed that big contract with Tampa Bay. You know, it's easy to draw a line back to the Steelers, and I think I've said this recently as well, too. You know, he has a history with Carnell Lake, being as the two spent the one season together at UCLA, you know, several years ago. So Verner, you know, can also play on special teams. He's only 28 years old. One would think that you could get somebody like him on maybe a 2 year, well, you know, throw a number at me, 2 year, $5 million, 2 year, $6 million. Is that right for a guy like Verner? High, maybe?
No, I don't think it's high. I don't think it's high. I think that's probably right.
Okay, another name, Captain Munderland. This is a guy that Alex Cazorla has been, you know, kind of pontificating about for you know, a few months now. Here's the thing with Captain Munderland. He can definitely play in the slot, but with that said, he'll turn 29 very soon. And if you read one of the reports coming out of the local, I think, Minnesota papers, he's looking for a 4 or 5 year deal that will average more than $4.2 million a season that he made in 2016. Now, here's the thing about Captain Munderland. He failed to record an interception last season. And I think he just had 3 defense passes, so that will probably help keep his market price down, not only considering these other cornerbacks on the market, but this draft class as well, too.
I mean, I'm going to say the same thing with all these names. They're all interesting names, and I haven't, you know, looked at the individuals closely enough lately to kind of break down, like, who's the best fit and who's – who, I mean, Alteron Verner is the guy I like the best of the group, of that group. I mean, I would take Dre over him, obviously. Who else is on the list?
Prince Amukamara?
Yeah, so we've talked about him a couple times. Again, his injury history is the biggest negative for him, but he's a bigger guy, so that's a positive.
Yeah, and he finally somewhat showed that he could stay healthy outside of a few early, I think he missed 2 games at the beginning of last season with the Jaguars, but even so, his production, he gave up some big plays, if I remember, was a knock on him last year, and he failed to record an interception last year. So needless to say, someone like him, even though he's a former first-round draft pick, his price should be way low as well, too. As far as cornerbacks go, you know, probably a guy that the Steelers probably aren't very high on. He was just released by the Buffalo Bills the other day, is that Nickel Robey Coleman. And Pro Football Focus had an interesting stat on him. He's another guy. Steeler fans won't like him because he's probably shorter than you are, David. But he probably will come cheap. And, you know, that's another name. He's technically a street free agent right now, as is Brandon Flowers, who was released on Tuesday by the Los Angeles. It's still hard to say Los Angeles
Chargers. Yeah, Los Angeles Chargers, yeah.
You know, but he is a guy, though, that wrong side of 30 right now. He had I know Steeler fans won't be that interested with him. Probably either because he had, I think, two concussions last year as well, too. And, you know, being as what happened with Ladarius Green this past year, Steeler fans probably wouldn't welcome a guy with a concussion history being signed. But those are the cornerbacks that I have on my short list.
All right. Hey, Steeler fans, the mortgage process can sometimes be more challenging than spelling Roethlisberger, spelling Captain Marlin. Let our buddy Craig Oxen guide you through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams. Even in where are we going today? Let's go to somewhere warm. Even in Hawaii for the future Pro Bowls, which hopefully never happen again. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor Craig Oxen a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Dave, let's talk about the Steelers' own guys, and let's put some percentages on this because – you know, going back to a year ago today, we started the conversations about some of the guys for next year. And, you know, my thought all along is they wouldn't extend Lawrence Timmons and he would be done and he played his last down as a Steeler. And I felt pretty good about that in terms of being right. I felt even better just having Timmons maybe prove me wrong because he played pretty well this season. The Steelers and I obviously don't see necessarily eye to eye that he's a three down linebacker. I'm surprised how much he played the second half of the season. I'm surprised how, and you know, these don't necessarily go together. I'm surprised how little Vince Williams played all season long. He had that big game early when Shazier was out. I think it was Shazier out when he had the 13 tackle game or whatever it was. But Timmons has proven he can still play in the NFL. No question about it. And he's, you know, he can at least be a two down linebacker. And I think the market, I think the market for him is, you know, $4 or $5 million a year and a couple year deal. What do you, you know, throw percentages at it? I'll say I kind of look at it, you know, still leaning against. I'll put Timmons coming back at 30%.
Yeah, I'll put it higher than that. I think it's just going to come down to price here, and it still wouldn't surprise me here in these final hours. I mean, the Steelers have a long history of getting guys that are about to become unrestricted free agents that they claim that they want back re-signed right before the, you know, the start of the new league year. So, you know, I'm not here to say that that's going to happen this year with a guy like Timmons, but I mean, this guy, unless he signs to play with the Titans or the Arizona Cardinals, where else is he going to go?
Yeah, that's always the hard thing, is to figure it out. Who wants a 31-year-old linebacker? Kansas City?
Yeah, but they already got an old one in Derrick Johnson, right?
Yeah, no, they'd have to move on from him. Yeah, that would be, you know, how you'd think about it.
So I'll put the percentage higher than – I still my heart probably is outweighing my gut when it comes to Timmons, but both tell me that something will get done with Timmons. I don't know if it'll happen before March 9th or maybe a week into free agency or what, but I'll put it higher than the 30% that you have. Hey, David, the Titans just released Al Woods.
There's a lot of ex-Steelers getting headlines these days, huh?
Yeah, I got to admit, I didn't pay attention to Al's play last season, but I mean, that's a guy that has experience, you know, with the Steelers there. So one would think you could have. I mean, look, it wouldn't. Yeah, it's not going to figure into the compensatory. Here's the thing about the street free agents, and that's why I included a few of them on my short list. You know, Altron Werner. Let's see, who was the other one? Nickel Robey Coleman, Brandon Flowers. The good thing about street free agents is they don't count against a compensatory draft pick formula. And I'm kind of putting together a list right now, before we got on the show, David, of the street free agents that Kevin Colbert has signed over the years that really turned out fairly decent. D'Angelo Williams, you know, being the most recent one. People might forget that he was released, you know, in 2015 by the Panthers, and the Steelers signed him. Also on the list, while this didn't work out overly well, Lance Moore. Remember, he was signed to a two-year contract after being released by the Saints. Adam Podlish is another one. Unfortunately, he never
saw it down.
Yeah, Bryce McCain. Remember, Bryce McCain signed a one-year deal after being released. Who was it? By the Houston Texans, I think, in 2014. William Gay, who you mentioned earlier, after, you know, he was signed in March 4th, 2013, after being released by the Cardinals. Matt Spaeth is another one that, after he was released by the Bears in 2013, he re-signed. With the Steelers, going back to the lockout year 2011, Jericho Cotchery wasn't a bad signing at the time. Of course, that happened in August due to the lockout and all. But you know, he had been released by the Jets, and then Antoine Randle after he was released by the Redskins in 2010, the Steelers got a little bit of production after him or out of him. After you know, signing him back, what was it, March the 9th, 2010. So be interesting to see if the Steelers have any interest in some of these, you know, what we call street free agents right now. And that's why I bring up Al Woods. And please note that I can't tell you much about how Al Woods played last year with the Titans.
Yeah, so a couple Steelers you pointed out, Nick Williams and Howard Jones, did not get their tenders.
Hojo's coming off of that knee injury, though, so he's probably going to sit on the sidelines for a little bit here.
Yep. Okay, so Dave, let's we'll bang this around again on Friday when we've got, you know, some real data to real signings to talk about. Let's just wrap things up with talking about what happened with the defensive backs at the combine on Monday. Because some of the numbers that guys put up were really the kid from Connecticut, just eye-popping numbers that he put up.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, that second group of defensive backs that worked out were absolutely incredible. And I'm going to butcher that kid's name, Obi Melafonwu. and I've heard them pronounce it several times, and I still can't do it. But man, you want to talk about the planet theory? You know how we talk about sometimes with these guys. Almost 6'4", he measured in at 6'3", 7/8", 224 pounds, 32.5-inch arms, ran a 4.4 40. The NFL Network 10-yard time on him was 1.51. He did 17 reps on the bench. He jumped 44 inches on the vertical and 11'9" on the broad jump. Now, he didn't run any of the shuttles or the three cones. So why should he? I mean, probably wait until your pro day to do that if you do it at all. What can you vertical jump and broad jump, David?
tiptoes and about a foot length.
Yeah, I mean he damn near jumped out of the building there. The Kevin King kid had put up some out of Washington, put up some eye popping numbers. Boy, you just go on and on with some of these corners. Cordrea Tankersley out of Clemson, 4.4 40. Not that good of a vertical though, but he had a fairly decent broad jump as well. Just a fast. It's a good year to need a cornerback in the draft, and I think that's kind of where you were going with this. Bless you. We think the Steelers are probably going to draft a cornerback probably within the first four rounds. And, you know, some of these guys, some of these nice prospects should still be on the board third or fourth round.
Yeah, they're going to have – they're going to get some cracks at it. And the running back class,
the edge rushers.
Yeah, you know, it fits. Look, everybody needs corners and edge rushers. So, you know, saying it fits the Steelers' need is a little bit redundant. But, yeah, you know, the Steelers should be able to find some good football players. And, obviously, that extra pick in the third round now just you know, we've talked about it, feels like a big Christmas present.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I saw, who was it, Charlie Casserly put out his second mock draft yesterday. He has Jabril Peppers going to the Steelers 30th overall, and he left a lot of big names on the board, edge rusher-wise, and even the, you know, the safety that we just talked about out of Connecticut didn't get drafted in the first round of Casserly's mock. What was probably the most disturbing about his mock is he had Miami tight end David Njoku going to the Patriots 32nd overall. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, they're gonna get somebody. Christian McCaffrey, you know,
where do you come in on McCaffrey?
I think McCaffrey's gone by the time the Steelers draft in the second round. I think he'll be well, it'll be interesting to see where Joe Mixon goes. He ran today pro day today for Alabama and Oklahoma. I mean, you know, we just get off the combine and bang, they go right back at it because of the condensed schedule this year. And Temple is today as well. You have Washington on Saturday. I'm guessing Mixon goes in the third or fourth round, and I think McCaffrey will go in the second round. And I think he'll be the third or fourth running back taken, depending on where Kamara, the kid from Tennessee, goes. I think it'll go, you know, Cook and Fournette will go up top in the first round, and McCaffrey and Kamara, Tennessee, will go next.
Let me ask you this. Let's assume the Steelers get themselves an edge in the first round, and a guy like Christian McCaffrey is there in the second round when they pick. Do you pull the trigger on that?
Yeah, couldn't run up there fast enough.
Yeah, I think I would as well too, because man, you can do so much with him. You look at his film and some. You know, not only does he have the explosion through the hole, he's got some patience at time as well too, and he can catch the football out of the backfield. You can do a lot of things with him, lining him up, you know, outside as well too. And you know, he, not that it matters, he has a little bit of a relationship with Le'Veon Bell. Some might view that as bad, but he's just a very he and Jabril Peppers just seem to be two kind of very polarizing guys, right? I mean, I understand it with Jabril Peppers because
I haven't seen the negative stuff that you've seen on McCaffrey. You asked me that on Monday. I haven't seen as much of that.
I just, you know, it's spotty knocks. I wouldn't say that people are overall turned off on him, you know. Overall, it's just, you know, some, when I do notice the comments on him, you know, it seems the negative seems to outweigh the positives with him. But I mean, he's obviously a guy I think that's going to come off the board within the first three rounds. He's a top five back, I think, in this year's draft as well too. And look, I mean, there might be a nice corner there even in the second round that might have better value. What do you put the odds on the Steelers drafting an edge right now at this point, 30th overall?
70%.
Yeah, I'm with you. I you know, look, Jabril Peppers is a heck of an athlete, and you know, I can see.
Where does Jabril Peppers get on the field for the Steelers? That's the thing.
That's the thing. You know, I mean, if you're gonna play, you know, a dime package with him supplanting, you know, Lawrence Timmons, Vince Williams, whoever, you know, I could, you know, you could play him in the box probably, and have him play kind of a nickelbacker role, and obviously you could use him in the return game, and heck, you could try some trickeration with him in the backfield as well too, you know, if you wanted to. So he is a very versatile player, but. And, you know, I think even if you listen to his combine interview, he wants to play safety. at the NFL level. He obviously played linebacker at Michigan because that's where they needed him to play at. So, you know, the biggest polarizing thing with him, really, and you hit on it, is where do you get him on the field at? You know, where do you play him at? What's his real NFL position?
Okay. So you've obviously did a lot more work on the combine than I did. Anything else in terms of just overall takes?
Just very happy with the way that this edge class looks. The depth of the cornerback class. I think even the safety class is deep. And then we talked about the running back class as well too. And even though you said, well, you can say this for any team that you know the draft is lining up, you know, very well for them at these positions. Well, I mean, the Steelers need these positions that we're talking about. And, oh, yeah, as you smartly pointed out, that extra third-round draft pick now that many of us, including the Steelers, probably perceived as a gift of sorts, you would think there's a good chance for them to get two very nice players with both of their third round picks. You know, that's my biggest takeaway coming out of this. Now there's obviously some players that I want to learn a lot more about moving forward. This kid, this big receiver out of where is it? Georgia. Can't find his name on my list real quick, but the big wide receiver out of Georgia State, Robert Davis, had himself a nice combine that I just watched a little bit of film on him last night. Robert Davis, 6'2", 5'8", 219 pounds, 33-inch arms, ran a 4.44 40, had a 41-inch vertical jump, and 11-foot, 4-inch broad jump. Had some nice shuttle and three-cone times as well, too. He's a guy that maybe you can get, you know, fourth, fifth round maybe, that you know, would give you another young wide receiver to develop. But I think my biggest takeaway from the combine is I still have a lot to learn about a lot of these players.
Fair enough, and we'll come back Friday and bang it out, and we'll see if we have Steeler free agents to talk about. Certainly, we'll be able to roll through, I'm sure, a bunch of names. I would imagine the quarterback situation is going to be not cleared up, but a clearer picture. You would think, you know, that some of the top names, it'd be interesting to see Brandon Williams, Dont'a Hightower, Alshon Jeffrey. Are those guys going to be off the board and gone? I mean, the landscape in the NFL will look different for episode 88 of the Terrible Podcast when we're back here 48 hours from now.
Let me ask you, all right, on Friday when we record our episode, how many true unrestricted free agents will the Steelers have signed, and how many of their own unrestricted free agents will they have signed?
You know, I say this hesitantly because I'm not saying it based on narrative or history or anything, but I'm going to go with zero.
On both?
Yep.
I'm going to go, let's see, street free agents don't count. So I will go zero true unrestricted free agents, and I'll go one of their own free agents will be back under contract by the time we do this show. So basically I got one more, you know, one unrestricted free agent of their own more than you do.
Latest report coming out, the Lions expected to sign right tackle Ricky Wagner for $9 million per. Obviously he's from the Ravens. People talked about him blowing the top off the market. That's not blowing the top off the market. So,
boy, if Ricky Wagner is worth that kind of money, what's Alejandro Villanueva worth?
Fortunately, he's under control for a little while, so the average annual value would be less if they do get a long-term deal done. Hey, Steeler Nation, mortgage rates currently at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxand at First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steeler fan, a Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxand today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. email Craig, craig@blackandgoldlining.com, or apply online, www.blackandgoldlining.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois residential mortgage licensee, equal housing lender.
And bless you. And before we get out of here, a quick salary cap update on the Steelers before they enter free agency here. Looks like real time salary cap space for the Steelers right now, almost $21 million. But if you want to take into account, the real projected expendable salary cap space, there's roughly $8 million or so dollars, that has to be accounted for coming down, in the future as well, too. Almost $13 million in available cap space, depending on which way you want to look at it. So needless to say, plenty of room for them to do whatever they need to do right now during free agency. Of course, they're going to try to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term extension prior to the July 15th deadline. I would expect Tuitt to get an extension later on in the offseason, possibly Alejandro Villanueva as well, too. We'll see what happens with these free agents like Lawrence Timmons, Landry Jones. That's obvious. Those will obviously eat up a little bit of cap space should those guys be re-signed. And you mentioned the pro days earlier. The Steelers have people at Alabama. Kevin Colbert's at the Alabama Pro Day. They're also at the Temple Pro Day today as well, too, reports on Twitter indicate. So the Steelers are out and about doing their normal offseason business at this time of year. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause, please go to SteelersDepot.com and find that donate button upper right navigational bar. And David, should be a fun 48 hours here. And look forward to recapping a lot of what has happened on the Friday show.
Yeah, it will be I'll be hitting the airwaves tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and I think I'll just be reading Twitter. That's what my 3 hours of reading Twitter and commenting on NFL free agency signings. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.